Chapter 31.
We can't just go storming through the countryside, Brenwar growled. Everyone is looking for you. Looking for us.
He motioned to the others.
We're wanted dwarfs, you know.
Ever since they made it to the bottom of the mountains, Nath had been determined to see what was going on. How much had the world really changed while he'd been asleep? It couldn't be that bad.
Certainly not everyone is looking for us,
Nath said.
There must be allies. And I find it hard to believe the clerics of Barnabas have taken over everything. There's always been plenty more of us than them.
Brenwar stormed ahead, cutting through the forest and into the valleys, veering clear of any noticeable paths. Nath didn't notice much of a difference in anything. The air was chill, and the sky was cloudy, but the day wasn't any different than the last he'd remembered. Brenwar stopped his march in a small clearing near the bottom of the valley, where a gentle stream trickled. Nath's old friend turned and faced him with a serious look in his eye.
Let me explain this once again, Nath. All that is evil in Nalzambor is looking for you. There is a bounty on your head higher than those mountains. They want you alive. Wars are going on everywhere. The good fight, and the good die. All because the evil want you.
He scooped up some water out of the stream and drank.
According to Bazog, you are the catalyst for the next dragon war. Perhaps the last war of all time.
That would be a good thing, Nath said.
Not if the other side wins. Not if we lose you. Everyone needs you.
Why?
Nath said. His stomach growled.
I'm starving.
He sloshed into the stream, hunkered down, and spread his arms over the waters that rushed past his legs. Fish, big and small, darted between his legs.
Ah, there's a meal.
Nath jabbed his hand into the waters and pulled out a large, wriggling, black-spotted fish. He gutted it, scaled it, torched it with his breath, and swallowed the rest down whole. He tapped his fist with his chest.
Bad.
One of the dwarves applauded.
Pa,
Brenwar said.
Let's go. As for why they want you, I can only assume it is to turn you.
It won't happen,
Nath said, through a clenched jaw.
Ever.
Don't say that. Come on.
Nath snatched another fish and gutted, scaled, torched, and ate it on the way. Hours later, dusk had returned when they happened upon a broken and overgrown village. He stopped, looking down at hundreds of stone markers. They were simple stones with names carved in them, noting all who had fallen but not been recovered. The layout of the village was familiar, and Nath knew he'd passed through here before, maybe 100 years ago.
It's like this all over,
Pilpin said.
Some save themselves, some are saved by others. But we can't save all of them. The peace in the land is gone.
He nudged Nath.
Come.
Pilpin led him to a half-sunken stone building that looked like it was being consumed by the ground. Nath ducked under a doorway that was tall enough for a dwarf and followed him down into a tunnel. All the dwarfs funneled inside, save for two, who remained outside with their battle axes crossed over their chests. At the end of the tunnel, they emerged into a large room, like a barracks, lit by smokeless torches. In the middle, a table large enough to feed 20 was stacked with bread cakes and littered with jars of jam and honey and slabs of dried meat. The dwarfs sat and dug in, while a pair emerged from another entrance with an oaken barrel between them and set it on the table.
Welcome,
a dwarf with a white curly beard said, teetering in.
I see we have a visitor.
No,
Brenwar said.
We have the visitor, Gorley.
Brenwar made his way out of the room.
Ah,
Gorley said, stroking his beard. He pulled out a chair.
Then I imagine he is hungry. Come, have a seat, eat.
Garly might have been the most pleasant dwarf Nath ever encountered. He was rugged, but robed in gray, without a stitch of metal showing. The rest of the dwarves were coated in steel, sharp and dull, and armored in thick leather and dull metal. They all ate like they'd never eaten before, and guzzled down tankard after tankard.
Help yourself,
Gorley said.
It won't be there forever.
Nath tore off a hunk of beef and grabbed a roll of bread. He stuffed it in his mouth. The dwarves weren't known for their cooking, but what they made sustained you. Gorley eyed him intently. The dwarf seemed to be counting each and every scale.
How many are there?
48,
Gorley said.
And you've been watching over me,
Nath said.
All these years?
It's what we're sworn to do.
And now that I'm awake, what will you do?
I don't know,
Gorley said, scratching his beard.
But now that you're awake, things will be a lot more exciting around here.
He clapped his hands and a jar of honey slid down the table.
Put some honey on that bread. It doesn't taste so good without it.
Nath waggled his hunk of bread in Gorley's wizened face.
I wish more dwarves were like you.
Gorley laughed a little.
Yeah, me too. But then I wouldn't be so special. You see, I'm not really a dwarf.
You look like a dwarf to me, Nath said. Even with all those teeth in your smile.
Gorley laughed.
Watch this.
The old dwarf began to stretch and thin. Nath felt the scales on his arms tingle. A few seconds later, he found himself staring at himself. Gorley showed a mouthful of bright white teeth.
I'm a chameleon,